sunshine, little Uber, deliver, deliver, lead us.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I am your host, Jill Spears, here with our favorite guru gardener, Lance Swagger. Good evening, Lance.
Good evening.
Glad you are here tonight. And we have special guest Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply Co. with us tonight. Hi, Jer.
Hi, Jill. How you doing? How you doing, Lance?
Great.
Good. I'm doing great.
Thanks for being here tonight, Jer. Jer was here a few weeks ago talking about soil health. And
That's
we're going to continue that conversation and get into compost specifically.
It's all about the compost.
It's all about the compost. Right on, 527-486-8166, KVNF Now. Jeff is in the control room, ready to take your calls and questions. And two guys here that really know their compost. So this is good stuff, and you might want to pick their brain about it. But again, we are trying to keep the soil healthy, amend the soil. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it's about organic matter and getting the microbes working.
Yeah, and they really like organic matter of any source, and compost just really works well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really balanced out.
And we're going to feed.
It's not so much a fertilizer, you know, as it is a, I mean, it has those properties, but it's not like you're going to get your MPK, you know, your 5-5-5 or anything like that out of it.
Right.
That's not what it is.
Right. It's more food.
It's soil health in general. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you get a lot of bacteria, and that's what the soil life likes, is organic matter. And this is how you keep them happy, and that keeps the plants happy.
Building that little community under there. Okay, is there a specific recipe or various recipes? How are we going to build our compost? How do we get started with that?
First, you need some sort of bin, which can be a pile, really.
I don't use bins at all.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, you've got various stages and piles.
Yeah. My bins are only for storage. I don't use those, and that's strictly carbon storage. That's all the kitchen scraps, the garden scraps. It's straw, it's hay, it's all that kind of stuff and leaves.
I mean, you can build a little bin out of some chicken wire that you just put in a circle. You can build it out of some pallets. There's a lot of commercial ones out there. We sell some compost tumblers that are pretty neat.
Right.
You know, so that you can, because it's all about turning your compost too.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's in the important part of keeping it aerobic, right? Keeping it breathing.
Yes. Yep. Keeping it breathing. I turn my piles once a week. And when I make a pile, I'll wet it down. Right. I just made one last week, so the material I used was pretty wet. So it didn't need to be watered down. And the first two turnings, I'll have to probably water it here and there. And then after that, I don't water piles anymore.
They can usually create a lot of their own moisture if they're working well.
Yeah.
There you go. So there are some things some indicators to let you know whether you're doing a good job or not.
Yeah, you want to be able to reach in down inside that pile and pull out a handful. And you want it to feel like a wrung out sponge, basically. Not dry, but not wet, you know.
Not soggy.
Right,
keeping it moist. And that's really the two most important ingredients.
Well, yeah, you got your what we call your greens and your browns, or your carbon and your nitrogen.
Okay.
And so in a place like Colorado where we're pretty dry, you can do like a 60% greens or nitrogen to about 40% browns.
Okay, what would be some of the greens that we'd be throwing in our compost pile?
Well, any of the manures.
Any of the manures?
Yeah, fresh grass cuttings.
Grass cuttings.
And I bet you a lot of your kitchen scraps.
Yep, kitchen scraps, garden scraps, garden thinnings.
Yeah, weeds, fresh weeds.
Oh, I want to ask you.
Weeds without weed seeds.
Yes.
Right. Okay, all that kind of stuff. Brown, what are some of the brown ingredients we're throwing in there?
Straw,
leaves.
Leaves that you rake, you know, in the fall. Right. Anything that's dried up and brown, really.
Yeah. Corn stalks, you know, all that kind of stuff. I actually shred my corn stalks and sunflowers.
Or shredded tree branches that have dried out a little bit. That's a good thing to put in there.
Okay, balance out.
And you can put some shredded paper in there, newspaper, sure. Shredded newspaper if you get in the pickle for
Let's see, what was carbon. And dried grass cuttings are at the brown end instead of the fresh.
Right.
Okay.
So
right.
They would turn into that.
Mm-hmm. What about things like sawdust and wood ashes? Are those things you
I
put
use
in
them
there?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sawdust, if you know, I wouldn't use sawdust from like laminates or particle board or you know, plywood that has
right.
all that glue and poison yeah. in it. But sawdust from from your chainsaw onto your table saw, whatever
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a good point. Let me give the phone numbers real quick. 527-486-8866 KVNF now. We're talking about compost. You want to be picky about what you put in there because this stuff's going on your garden.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to be picky. You can be as picky as, and I've done this, if you go to a place and the animals are not treated well, I don't touch the manure.
Yeah.
As simple as that. Yeah. That energy is going into those animals.
Right.
And I says, nope, I'm not getting it here. And the other one, was that last year Lulu talked about don't get manure after the horses have been wormed?
I did think she
because
did talk
the,
about
yeah,
that.
The chemical, right. the medicine or whatever you want to call that they use to worm.
Right.
The
dewormer, yeah, that'll kill earthworms and whatnot.
Yeah. And it really stunted the growth in those pastures where they spread had those horses and stuff. So you have to watch the timing on if you know somebody that has horses and you're getting horse manure, you can always ask them.
Right. But you really got to think about mm-hmm. where your stuff's coming from. You got to think about that with everything these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Garden compost is, one of the best too. You don't have to have manure.
No, mm-hmm. you don't.
So.
Right.
It's just slower.
Manure is going to speed up the whole process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're trying to make all of this stuff decompose.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
But we have some biologicals up at the store that, that can activate the process and get it going a lot faster too.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to do is just take, a good handful about a gallon's worth out of a good active compost pile and put it in your new pile. And that kind of mm-hmm. gets it off to a good start.
Right. Yeah. Is that called inoculation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been doing that for years. You don't need to do it, but it sure helps.
Mm-hmm. It gets it going.
It gets it going a week, 2 weeks earlier.
Right. It's like that sourdough starter.
Passing
it around
yeah,
the neighbors.
Like that.
Yeah. So anyways, I like to use it. And I have compost that has been sitting all winter. So I actually ended up putting not just a gallon or stuff. I ended up. Well, it depends on your size of your pile. I'm doing 6 scoop shovelfuls into the next pile, the new one I make.
Nice.
Gotcha.
And these piles are about the size of bed of a pickup truck, a full-size pickup truck.
Right.
Yeah, volume's pretty important, actually. Mm-hmm. You need to have about at least a cubic yard pile going for it to work right.
So. Yeah, that's about the minimum size.
Yeah.
The minimum size.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if it doesn't have any
three
more
by three by three.
Yeah.
Right. So you got to have it some room to cook there.
Yeah, if it doesn't have the mass, it doesn't do it.
Okay. All right, so you got a good bin going, pretty big bin, either a pile or a bin, mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. like that. You're putting brown and green ingredients in there, and you're turning it and watering it, keeping it moist, right? And pretty much you're able to reuse a lot of your organic matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no waste.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it when you're thinking about throwing something away.
Yeah.
Can I compost this?
Yeah. No, there's absolutely no waste.
It becomes the circle of life.
Yeah.
I like it.
I pick the, I tell you, I get the mud up from my shoes, even if it's in the driveway. I pick it up. Every stick, every leaf, everything goes
put
back.
It in the pile.
Go put it in the pile.
And you can take like your hair cutting. If you shave your beard like I just did, that goes in the pile.
Brush the dogs.
Yeah, that's a
mm-hmm.
good thing.
Uh-huh.
That's got a lot of nitrogen, so you put that
right.
in there.
Right, right.
You can take your dryer lint or, I wouldn't use your dryer lint if you use, chemical fabric softeners or something, but you can take your dryer lint or stuff out of your vacuum and even put it in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it is a nice all circle the dust. There. Mm-hmm. Keeping it clean.
Yeah.
You would like shells. To be tidy. Yeah, eggshells. Someone asked a question about coffee grounds.
Coffee's good.
Mm-hmm. Coffee grounds are good. Yeah.
Yep. Put anything, it in the compost
yeah,
pile.
Anything in there.
No meat, no dairy is usually
a good rule of thumb.
Rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's because, well, for me, meat means critters in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the skunks will come.
Yeah.
Raccoons will come.
Right.
They're already there, excuse me, but they'll come.
They are there.
Yeah.
So, and then you can move into vermiculture if you want, and you can make vermicompost, or you can just use some worms in your compost pile.
Right. And that's something you traditionally, I think about with compost and mm-hmm. worms, having worms be a part of that.
The worms will speed it up.
Yeah. Worms speed it up.
Yeah. And they mm-hmm. just show up in my place.
Yeah.
I don't try to
right.
put them in there.
Well, there's a couple kinds of worms, you know. So the nightcrawler type worms, they live a little deeper in the soil, where the red wiggler worms, they're top feeders.
Okay.
And, so those you usually end up adding, you know. Unless, I mean, they're out there, probably at a place like Lance's, they're just everywhere.
Right.
But sometimes you need to add them into your pile, but then you can also just start a vermiculture bin.
Mm-hmm.
Where
specific.
Where you've got like, it's a little compost bin that you keep in the garage or maybe under the, you know, the kitchen sink. And that'll just take all your kitchen scraps. And the worms will digest that, and then you're left with worm castings and vermicompost.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Oh, that's kind of a high, what do you call that?
Concentration?
Yeah, high concentration of some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Hey, we have Pete from Paonia on the line with a couple of questions. Good evening, Pete.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I got like three questions, and then I'm going to get off and let you guys answer them.
Okay.
My first question is, I've got two bins of pallets. Basically three cubic yards or whatever.
Sure.
Or one cubic yard or whatever it is. And I've been stacking that for about 3 years, and I haven't turned them, which I didn't mm-hmm. know I needed to do for sure. If I take off like one side of each of those sides and tear them apart and just take the bottom layer and pile it, should I leave the top layers in so that they can keep going?
Yeah, so turn it all in. You don't necessarily need to take the sides off either. Just kind of get in there with a good fork and turn it all in and water it. And then what we do is, like, up at the store, we sell a compost sifter, right?
Uh-huh.
So then you take the compost and you sift it out over your wheelbarrow. And then you take and you use the sifted compost. And then the bigger chunks you throw back in because they're not composted down enough yet.
Yeah. I do have a sifter. I've got a few sifters, like the wire mesh.
Mm-hmm. 4x4. Yeah, something like that. Yep.
That's best. And then put everything back in.
Yep.
My other question is cardboard or no?
That was a question at the soil conference I was at a few weeks ago. And it's got a lot of glue, a lot of formaldehyde type stuff. And I found when I was using it a lot, I was trying to use it. I found out that if you had a space to let it weather for 6 months or so, to get all that stuff gassed off, and then I'd rip it in pieces. And you got to use, that's technically wood or paper, and it's technically about 400 to 1 nitrogen, carbon to nitrogen, and you really want about 20 to 1.
Right.
So you're going to need a lot of nitrogen to break that down.
I'll tell you how we use the cardboard. We don't compost it. We lay it out flat, and then we lay it on the ground. We use it as weed block, and then we put compost right on top of that, and then it eventually biodegrades underneath the compost. And so you've got a good weed block there, and the compost biodegrades it, and it's an all-natural weed block. You've done a good job there, and then your compost eventually works its way through the weed block and feeds the plant. So
that's what I've been using it for, to kind of hold moisture in.
Yeah, it's a great mulch more than it is something you want to compost.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. okay, but rip it up a little bit more. I think my third question was, how long do you have to leave that compost in a box? Like I said, I've got 2 pallet boxes.
Well, that's a loaded question. That depends on if it's southern facing or northern facing.
And just how you've layered it.
And you got to turn those. You know, the more you turn it, the faster it's going to compost.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you made a third bin and you could, when you fill up one, turn it into the next one, fill up the first one. And when you fill up that first one again, turn that second one into the third bin and the first one into the middle bin.
Right.
And that's how you do
it.
And that's
it, I sift it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Three bin system's pretty good way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it.
All right. All right. Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Pete.
Have a good show. Bye.
Thanks. Good questions there.
Great questions.
Yeah, and I love the cardboard idea, Jer, of putting that down for kind of a weed barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
well, we have a lot of cardboard.
I just figured out what to do with all my cardboard.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
But the trick is to put something on top of it so it doesn't blow
away.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing of having these compost piles ready to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we literally put, 3-4 inches of compost on top of this cardboard.
Right.
We do that on our raspberries. And so that keeps the weeds from coming up. And then we'll put, I guess it's more like 2 to 3 inches on top of the cardboard, enough to keep it there. And then you water it down, and it's good weed block, as well as it all just kind of composts into the soil there. And the raspberries are pretty happy.
Yeah.
If you were making a new bed in a piece of ground that maybe wasn't real optimal, that's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you ever heard of lasagna gardening or composting?
I have heard of that lasagna concept, yeah.
That's kind of what you do, right, Lance? Or do you do that in some of your beds or not?
No, I put compost in.
So, you could start a lasagna bed, and so you lay down some cardboard, and then you start layering things in it, and your whole bed becomes kind of like a compost bin, and then by the next year or so, you plant in it.
Nice.
And it's all different. It's layered with different organic matter.
Right.
Of whatever you have.
You do some straw, some leaves.
And it doesn't have to be shredded. It doesn't have to be composted. No. And you throw some manure in there.
Some kelp meal, some manure. Some, yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you need some rock dust. Yeah, I was going to say phosphate rock dust.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Great idea. I love it. I'm going to try it. And I'll be reporting back on that.
Yeah. I like digging, so
yeah,
I'll dig. But these ways really work.
Okay.
Yeah, you can stay on top of things that way.
The lasagna way, that will be
and
my
you
summer.
Can use a waste product, cardboard.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there we go again, that whole circle of things. Hey, Ted from Paonia is on the line with a question. Good evening, Ted.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, Ted.
So I have a question. I've always raised and I slaughter maybe 3 to 5 lambs or goats a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always just composted the innards.
The bone and blood?
Yeah.
Well, and the stomach and all, stomachs and all that stuff. So, and it's always been fine. Now, what is your aversion to any kind of meat products in your compost?
I don't have any. I just know that when they had rocket compost out of Hotchkiss, and he used to take dead animals, steers, pigs, everything.
Yep.
And all he had to do was designate that not for land that was growing animal feed.
Right.
There and that was the difference because that if you got a really active pile, that's stuff like that, it will break it down. You just don't want very much of that stuff.
Yeah. You could overdo it pretty easily.
You just want to balance it out.
Yeah. Well, I have had dogs come and try and
that's the bigger issue. I mean, that's the bigger issue for sure.
But
and then there's
I
the vegans.
Have a lot of rodent issues. It's mainly, but by the I'll do it in the fall and by the spring.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to have mellowed out to a usable substance.
Great.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You're putting all the
That's the forest floor.
Yeah, forest floor. Another thing you could do with that, if you have any problems, this is for other listeners, and you don't want to put that stuff through your compost, if you got dead animals or that, you can bury it.
Right.
Bury it right out in the garden and, you know, or something, and you can dig
it. And then just dig it up years later.
Years later, or you can plant something right on top of it.
Right, right. Plant a tree.
Plant a tree. Plant squash vines on it. You can plant right on top of it. They'll do really good.
So, but in terms of, you know, disease or microbial, if you treat it right, it's you don't think it's a...
No. The whole point of composting is to get it hot.
Yeah.
And so if you get it hot enough, you're killing all the bad juju. Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted. Bye. Okay. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Jer Lowe from Earth Friendly Supply Co. and our guru gardener, Lance Swaggart, in the house talking about compost. Can we talk about that temperature aspect a little bit? That's just naturally it's going to heat up.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an indicator of that it's doing well or not doing well? Is that
That's the indicator.
That is the indicator. Yeah. Okay.
And you can get thermometers.
Yep. We have a long compost thermometer.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm. What's that? I don't know what the actual temperature you don't want it to go over.
Well,
it starts doing some damage.
Right. So if you're in biodynamics, I don't think you want it to get past 160 technically for biodynamics.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the number. And then, you know, you don't want to cook it past, you know, 220 or anything like that. Mm. I mean, that's going to be pretty counterproductive.
Yeah.
As far as the life. But you want to get it pretty hot, though, you know, so to get it going. And then when you turn it, you cool it down and then it heats back up.
Yeah.
You cool it down and it heats back up and it does its composting scenario much more rapidly that way.
Right. And that's your thing, turn.
Yeah.
Right?
One of the other reasons for turning, that's because we've mentioned check on air and water, but you're taking the stuff that's on the outside of the pile and putting it in the middle.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Bingo.
So that it's all getting some heat treatment to break down and also try to do a number on some of the weed seeds.
Yeah, folding it all in.
You know, some people do what's called a static pile.
And what's that?
And that's what, Bart's done this over at Peonia Soil Co. as well as the town, or I think it was Quebec or one of the big municipalities up in Canada. They have giant static piles. And what that is they run pipes through the compost pile at the bottom. They're in like rows, you know, and you run pipes through and they blow air through the pile, and that way they don't have to turn it. It all just sits there and composts.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept. Yeah. Hey, we have Jonathan on the line with the comment. Hi, Jonathan.
So just a quick little poke. you're a guy who just called in about putting animal material in his compost.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's a couple ways to do that. He can smash those bones and do some stuff and turn it into bone meal or burn it. And crank it into awesome bone ash.
Yeah.
And it actually does work really, really well.
Oh, good.
All right.
So, anyway.
Good to know.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I throw the old dog bones in my compost. They go through several composts before, you know.
Oh,
where they're totally.
Yeah.
That's what that sifting part's all about.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I find them because of the shredder.
There you go.
You shred a lot of your stuff. You get ahead of the game a little bit with that, don't you?
Well, you can get ahead of the game. My shredder, the way it works, is it's better to shred after the compost is finished.
Really?
My shredder doesn't take really big core stuff. This is an old thing. I've had it since 1979.
Uh-huh.
Everything's original but the motor.
So you shred your compost to make it finer?
Yeah.
Before you put it on the garden?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's how I do it.
Interesting.
And you can shred prior to composting, and it will compost much faster.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why I shred I have a different shredder that will shred up those corn stalks and raspberry stalks and sunflower stalks. I use that one. But in general, I don't shred it till it's all finished composting.
Interesting.
And that's just my thing. You can do it any way you want.
Yeah, give it the fine finish.
Yeah. No. I've been a pre-shredder, you know,
yeah,
to get those piles moving.
Uh-huh. Right, right. Smaller pieces to break down there.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry from Paonia is on the line. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Just a brief comment. So thermophilic composting, which is generating heat, and vermicomposting are not entirely compatible.
Sure.
Because if it gets, you know, thermophilic composting is 140 and above, that's definitely going to kill any kind of earthworms you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they can live in the perimeter of the pile, maybe, but they're not going to survive the thermophilic.
So you actually have to build different piles. One if you're going to do for hot, and one if you're doing vermiculture.
Yeah,
you're not going to put them together.
I would keep a worm bin as a worm bin generally.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
That's a good point. Thank
conjures
you.
Up visions of
frying your worms.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
It's like watching your worms and going into the center of a volcano or something.
That's true. Pretty accurate on that.
Yeah. All right. We probably have time for one more call, 527-486-8 1866 KVNF now. Can I ask about compost tea? Seems to be the rage.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And what are we doing there? We're just percolating or?
Well, it's called actively aerated compost actively aerated compost
aerated.
Tea.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that entails, well, we teach a class every summer. We give free class on compost tea making, but that involves taking compost, putting it in a tea bag, or not in some cases, but we take compost, worm castings, some forest humus, things like that, put it in a tea bag, and that is your inoculate, okay? And then you have to have a catalyst that you put in the water, and then you have to have an air pump to pump bubbles into the water. And so that's your active aerating part, okay?
Okay. I just have one. What's the size of the tea bag?
That depends on the size of your batch.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be a lot, per se.
Yeah.
Because you're blooming.
When you're saying tea bag, people are thinking the tea bag is pretty cut.
No, we sell some tea bags that are about, you know, a gallon.
Okay,
I
good.
Guess.
Right,
good.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and you're putting this in a barrel or something.
Yeah, and you're doing it like in a 30-gallon drum, let's say. Or, you know, we sell some fancy systems that are you know, different systems just for doing this. But it doesn't have to be that complicated. You just need an air pump, a vessel, water, and then the catalyst is what feeds the microbes. So basically what you're doing with compost tea is you're blooming microbes over a 24 to 48 hour period.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking, you know, like a teaspoon worth of microbes and you're turning that into just an unbelievable amount of microbes,
mm-hmm.
okay, in a 24 to 48 hour period. And you're getting both bacterial and fungal. You know, if you go more towards 48 hours, you get more fungal. If you go closer to 24 hours, it's more bacterial. There's a lot to learn about it, but what you're getting is a very high microbial base spray or something you can water in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what compost tea is all about.
Yeah, kind of making it even more concentrated, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And you can spread it over a larger space.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And can you spray that on your plants as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
You'd have to strain it again. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, you can spray that right on your... And you got to do foliar. Have you read this?
Yeah.
Foliar.
Foliar.
Foliar is usually done in the cool of the day.
Absolutely. So there's a couple things going on there. A lot of people want to get up and do it in the morning, which they can, but it's you know, the leaf has to be cool. But... You know, most of these things have what we call a photodegradation factor, meaning that UV rays are what make them go away, right?
Okay.
So it's best to spray in the evening after the leaves have cooled down, and then you get, you know, 12, 14 hours of efficacy.
Right.
Because there's no UV rays hounding on them, and mm-hmm. that gives the microbes a little better time to set up their camps and go to work there.
Right. So compost tea in the evening when things have cooled down. That's great advice, Jer.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Good to know.
You can do that in Colorado because, you know, we don't have a lot of fungal issues compared to some other places.
Right, right. Super great stuff here, you guys. Good information.
And can, you can talk for weeks on this.
Oh, yeah. And we will be talking about it again because we're going to be gardening all summer. And, Jer, I hope you come back and join us.
We will. We will.
That's great. We'll be back next week, Lance and myself.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll talk about grains, small grains.
That sounds good.
That sounds like a great discussion. Yeah. I'll be listening to that one.
All right. Grains next week, everybody. And it's One Woman's Perspective coming up next on KVNF. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns. Thanks, Jer.
Thank you.
Thanks, right. Lance.
Have a good evening.
Good night, you guys.
Slow and fast. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.